This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now for something special. The unit is self-contained with its own saddler, farrier, wheelwright, and so on. It's a rigorous training dished out who know all there is to know about horses, and it brings results.
We take you behind the scenes now to show just some of the interesting aspects of this training.
Welcome back to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein, the number one podcast to create sound of horses from the ground up. Mike Stein is a registered journeyman farrier with an APF 1 accreditation. On this week's show, Talking Terminology, we're going to talk about the articulation of the science of anatomy, also how straightness of a limb affects the hoof, and we'll discuss DSLD case that Mike had to look at on a horse named David. And all this and much, much more will be discussed here on Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. And over to my far hand side is Mike Stein. How are you?
I'm doing good, Travis. How are you?
I'm doing good. I think my coffee buzz is kicking in because my tongue's talking slower than my brain is.
I hate when that happens.
Yes. I've got some good news and, well, bad news or good news if you look at it this week.
Right.
The good news is, Mike.
Yes.
Nothing has happened on the property of any sort. Nothing fancy's happened. There's nothing happened with the horses. Nothing happened outside with Diego. Nothing happened in here with Dominique. It's been a very, very quiet week.
The calm before the storm.
And the bad news is, it is the calm before the storm. So I'm waiting now for that. Oh my God, we got to do this. And now we got to go back over here and do this. And something happened over here and bring out the, you know, but you wish for the best. A calm week. Go ahead.
Have you started getting a little bit of money put back?
This week, I think we put back at least $57.
Okay. If you start putting money back, something's going to happen.
I know. You got to go ahead and plan for a rainy day.
That's right.
Now, something we have done here recently is the front pasture here on our property.
Right.
We closed it off. I took the Haro drag and spread out all the horse poop.
Right.
Spread it all out. And then we've had a couple days of rain. And I did this about 3 weeks ago. And now the grass is starting to come in and everything's, you know, we're getting into, Ponsatani Phil said, early spring this year. So we're starting to see the results of that. We're getting rain a little bit more frequently here.
You and Phil talk personally or?
Well, we email each other.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And so the grass is starting to come in, and in pasture 2 and pasture 3 that we have out there, that's where the horses have been staying to kind of give this pasture up here a break. Now that the horses are coming up, and Amy was even saying, you know, Dominique, I was running my hand down her back. She's starting to feel what riders or owners call little ribby. You know, a little ribby, he's not getting enough, or she's not getting enough hay, because we have to supplement the grass that they're not eating with hay.
Right.
So now that we're bringing the horse up on the front, I worry about that influx of weight now coming back on the horse. Should I worry or anything right now with this new grass coming in here slowly in the Carolinas?
It's one of those things that needs to be monitored, and when you talk about her getting ribby, older horses, they're a little out of shape. The weight hangs down, and sometimes they will feel a little ribby because of lack of muscle tone up top.
I know my dad's 78, and he's like, he's skin and bones by his shoulders, but he's got that little Grandpa Duke belly down below.
Right, yeah.
So kind of the same effect.
Yeah.
So, Mike, anything exciting happening to you this past week?
I got a piece of wood sent to me.
The whole piece of wood?
The whole piece of wood.
Did the person like you that sent you the piece of wood?
I think so.
You hope so, right? Did they engrave anything on this piece of wood?
They did.
Well, do you want to show us what you got this week, or you want to wait till later on in the show?
We can do that.
I would like to do it right now, because I am very proud of you, Mike.
You are?
I am.
Yes, but you don't have much of a life.
I got you, the show, and the horses outside. Yeah. So what do you got there?
I've got a piece of wood.
All right, so
with a little piece of metal stuck on it.
So Mike has... He has gotten the Achievement Award presented to Mike Stein, RJF AFP1, for top 10 most IAPF continuing education credits in 2023 as a clinician, presented on January 24th, 2024 from the IAPF, which is the International Associates of Professional Farriers. So I'm going to hold this up with the camera.
Right. And a lot of what put me in that position was because of us doing this program.
Is it really?
It certainly is.
So technically this is my award too?
That's your award. Yes, it is. it is.
Okay.
So we can scratch Travis on there if you want to.
And don't forget, for every podcast we do, we have a matching video over on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe over there. We've got we've been putting up little short bits, little bite-sized pieces, and also private shows. So if you're a subscriber over at YouTube, you can catch those private shows, which is just a little bit more the stuff that hits the cutting room floor that we find that's valuable information that just doesn't make it into the normal podcast broadcasting as well. So make sure you check that out over at YouTube as well. So there you go, Mike. Look at that.
There it is.
Where are you going to hang that? Right next to the toilet? I'm kidding. No, I'm very proud of you.
I've got a few pieces of wood like that, and we still got to scratch your name on there. You got a piece of
I got some blue painter's tape. I can put some put my name on there somewhere.
Okay.
But is it really because of the show? Because you do get credits. A lot of people don't know.
A lot of it is because of the show and the program, and yes.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know that this show right here actually qualifies for continuing the education towards your IAPF accreditation over there.
And I do a good bit of further ed every year, you know that.
Yes.
And also have apprentices that are mentoring with me, or I am mentoring them, or somebody's mentoring somebody.
If someone was interested right now and said, hey, you know, I'd like to be part of that if they're a farrier, and it's open to everybody.
Right.
It's open to anyone, owners, trainers, if you just want to learn a little bit more about your horses.
International Association of Professional Farriers.
And it's worldwide.
It is worldwide. It was the group that supplied farriers for the 2018 games, and we've supplied farriers for a number of other things. And if you look at a lot, you go down to Florida to see a lot of these upper-end competition horses down there, start looking around at who's working on them.
Is it professionalfarriers.com?
There is a professionalfarriers.com where you can look up for finding farriers in your area.
Is it part of this as well?
It's part of this as well.
Yes. So if you want a little bit more information, go to professionalfarriers.com where you can look up professional farriers in your area also get a little bit more information if you want to either be a professional farrier or just want to learn about farriers in general and have that little nugget of information in your back pocket when dealing with horses.
For sure. Okay. International Association of Professional Farriers.
There you go. Well, congratulations, Mike. Big round of applause for Mike over there for achieving.
You're kind of like that little monkey that
does clapping cymbals. I know. All right, guys, stick around. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk terminology, and we're going to talk about how straightness of the limb affects the hoof. So stick around. You're listening to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. He'll be right back. Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time. I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky. Hey, this is Travis from Equine Dynamics. Join Tammy Crawford, founder of Color Me Love, a sanctuary and shelter born from a journey through childhood trauma and the healing powers of love, faith, and community. ColorMeLove.com helps children who have been through so much in such a short length of time to embrace, create, and heal. Some of the programs at ColorMeLove.com include artistic expression through painting, therapeutic horseback riding, professional counseling session, peer support, and community building. At Color Me Love, every child deserves a place to feel safe, understood, and valued. They don't just offer shelter, they provide a space where creativity meets therapy. Every activity that's provided is a step towards healing. So join Tammy and find out more information over at ColorMeLove.com. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today. Welcome back to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. If you have a question for Mike Stein, the way you get those questions in is go to equinedynamics.com. At the top of the page says contact us. Fill out that little form. There's a little drop-down menu. One of them is podcast. Ask them a question in there. If you just want to say anything, congratulations, whatever, you can do that over on the YouTube page. But if you have a question for Mike Stein, get those questions in over at equinedynamics.com and put a return address, a physical mailing address, because what we'll do is we'll send you out some magnets, some stickers, some little prize packs for you being a part of the show and for us just saying thank you. It's not an email grab. We're not going to show up on your doorstep or anything like that, believe me.
That's what we're telling them.
Right. We just want to send you guys out a little bit of a swag from the show. And over to my far hand side, our very own swag himself, that is Mike Stein. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Travis. How are you?
Doing all right. Now, we're going to talk terminology. We've been doing this for a while now, and a lot of success has come out of this. And I've had people actually stop me in the barn, you know, because I go to the barn with Amy sometimes, and people will say, hey, you know, talking terminology, that really helps me out, because a lot lot of times your vet will say something to you, or your farrier will say something to you, or just people in passing. You're defining these words to where they're being used correctly. I've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. So this week we're going to talk about articulations in the science of anatomy. So tell us what we're actually defining there as far as articulation when it talks about the science of the anatomy of a horse. So articulation refers to the joining of the bones and joints. Different joints have different types of articulation, with some moving and rotating freely, while other joints or articulations are almost fixed in place with very, very little movement. So what do we mean and what are we looking for when we're talking about articulation of anatomy of a horse?
Articulation surfaces, the cartilage surface on the end of the joint, depending on how the joint is built, like a ball joint.
Like my shoulder.
Can go in multiple directions. Most of the joints down the lower leg are limited in the direction they could bend. And they might have a little bit of side-to-side play, but not that much. You think about a horse moving at, say, 35 miles an hour galloping. If you have a lot of side-to-side movement, you could have a real problem. The shoulder, as far as turn in, turn out, is where you can get some play. You can get some play in the elbow joint and in the shoulder itself, as far as rotate in, rotate out on the front limb.
I always think about it like your tie rod ends on your vehicle.
Exactly.
Or your ball joints. Yeah, and, yes. And your ball joints on the tires. That's the only way.
To articulate is to be able to bend, to flex.
So what are the most common things as far as why would a quote-unquote ball joint get out of whack? Common signs as far as when you look at a horse's foot, can you tell if there's articulation problems up further up the leg?
You know, your horse that are toed in, horses that are toed out, you will have some odd compression problems in the foot, balance problems, direction flares want to go because of the way the leg is turned in or turned out, and that comes out of the shoulder. If the elbows are out, the toes are turned in. If the elbows are in, the toes are turned out. And, of course, your breakover is pretty well dictated with the alignment of where the knee wants to flex.
So you technically can tell by looking at the bottom of a horse's foot. You know, when you flip that foot up, you're like, going, okay, well, this is a little worn on this side. Let's look at the rest of the horse and ask that question, why? You know, why is it doing this?
Well, you have to look at the rest of the horse before you look down.
Okay, so you start at the top and work your way down.
Sure, I do, because that's where most of your horse is.
Now, if you're looking at it and you're talking about the toe in and toe out with the articulation, if the horse is starting to get bad articulation as far as the rotation and stuff, is that something that you can fix with shoeing, or is it something you're like, okay, this is the way the horse is now, let's see if we can prevent it from going any further into bad lands, or can we bring it back into a good field of operation?
We always want to keep it from going further into badlands.
Right.
You know, uneven joint wear down the road can cause some issues with joints. Yeah, then you can get some arthritis. We don't want inflammation in the joint. That's what the itis is, right?
That's what my dad's dealing with right now. He can barely walk up and down the steps. He's got bad arthritis in his knees.
Yeah, with what we do on the ground, we want to keep the alignment with the joints as best we can. Minimize damage to the joints so that we can have a longer working career of the horse.
And the best program to actually have is to make sure the horse is being looked at on a regular basis. Don't go 3 or 4 years. You know, let's say you have a horse that's a baby, and you say, you know, within the first couple of weeks, you're already looking at that horse to see what the legs are doing. And then just don't let the horse go 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've got this articulation problem, which you could have handled or caught, you know, in year one.
Right. That's one of those deals like with a high-low foot, clubby feet. We have a time window we can work within of the coffin joint. That is your first joint to start closing. Then other joints up the leg, you work all the way up to the shoulder over a period of time. And there are charts out there that will show you at 6 months, at 9 months, at 12 months, what you can and cannot do. Now, on the other end, if you got one of the higher up joints, you start to align it too early. Well, you can cause some problems. There are certain time windows for each joint you have to work within. And too many times, well, we'll throw it out in the field. We'll look at it at 2 or 3 years old, and we'll see if we can do something then.
Maybe it'll heal itself.
Maybe it will heal itself. Some of them do. Some of them getting those babies out, moving around, will give them time to stretch tendons and ligaments out, right? But on the other end, you know, I've had people come to me, well, you know, we caught them up at 5 years old. Can you fix that high-low foot? It's management at that point.
Because those joints have already closed. That opportunity has already closed.
And you've got your tendon ligaments have formed the way they formed, and there you go.
I don't know if you have the answer to this question, but have you seen this bad articulation in like the wild horses in Colorado? You know, you were talking about, who's the gentleman that was out there looking at them?
Gene Ovenack.
And you, like I said, you might not know the answer to this question, but I mean, would you see bad articulation in those wild horses as to your domesticated horses that are here now?
You would think that most of those horses with really bad articulation in the wild wouldn't make it, and it does challenge them a lot. But if you go back and look at the old horse Pegasus with the major
I was just thinking about Pegasus, and she was the one that was galloping at 50 miles an hour.
Right. And look at those legs and look at those hoof alignment, and we got this picture of the perfect wild horse. Even you look at Sally.
And Sally's your horse.
Sally, I've been around Sally since he was about a year and a half, 2 years old, roughly in there. Well, if you look at Sally's feet and the way they grow, he has always had four hind feet. I mean, basically, yeah, I mean, as far as the shape of the foot, he's got the diamond-shaped foot on the front. He came in like that. He will go to his grave like that.
If you're not familiar with the horse named Pegasus, check out that one, and you can see actually what Mike's talking about. And Pegasus's feet actually turn up like...
They wing out as the side that flared, like we normally see the toe of a founder horse, but his is more out to the side because he walks on the inside of the foot. He's an odd-looking character, but he figured out how to make it work, right?
There you go. All right, guys, stick around. When we come back, we're going to dive into the how straightness of a limb affects the hoof, an article by Deb Bennett. So stick around. You're listening to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. He'll be right back. She ran. Welcome back to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. Don't forget to follow him over on Facebook as well. And that's Equine Dynamics Mike Stein. You can see a whole bunch of different videos and stuff. If you miss it on the YouTube channel, Mike posts videos over on his Facebook page as well. All the little bite-sized pieces, little snippets, little shorts. You can find those over on his Facebook page as well. And also, all bunch of different articles Mike comes across that he finds interesting to himself and to his listeners or to the public and his fan base over there on Equine Dynamics on Facebook. So make sure you subscribe to him over there as well. And over to my far end side is Mike Stein. How are you?
I'm doing good, Travis. How are you?
Doing well. Now, speaking of articles that you found and you post over on your Facebook page, you came across this article by Deb Bennett, PhD, and it's from the American Farriers Journal magazine. And the article talks about how the straightness of a limb affects the hoof. Tell us why this article was written and all the details as far as what they discover and find out.
How does the straightness of the limb affect the hoof?
When you say straightness of a hoof, you have a bird's leg and it kicks backwards. Are you talking about the straightness up and down, or are you talking about the straightness from left to right, the toe in and toe out?
Yes.
So you're talking about both aspects of the horse's leg.
You know, I always get this idea, and I was taught with, nowadays you got the lasers, but we had, something tied on the end of the string to make it like a plumb bob. This is straight, this isn't. Problem is where are you when you drop that string? Are you seriously in front of the leg or not? And I've sat there and watched people look at horses. Horses' legs are not 100% straight. If you're not quite in front of the leg, this leg's crooked. Well, where are you looking at it from? The leg's not dead straight anyway, especially the hind leg. Looking at front legs, toed in, toed out, you've got the joints reformed the way they form. Where we have some chance of doing something with it is out of the shoulder. In development of how the horse is moving, what muscles are stretched, what muscles are developed, what ligaments are shortened or not. The shoulder itself, the scapula, is not attached like ours. We don't have a ball socket with the scapula behind it. It does have a bit of a ball joint in there, but it's not attached to the rib cage. And there is a little bit of movement in the ball joint medialaterally, or turn in, turn out. Not nearly as much as ours. Most of the legs, you know, the joints down the leg are pretty much fixed to go in one direction. So the development of the shoulder, and when you're looking at a shoulder and what's driving a lot of the forces going on with the foot, there's a lot more goes out of the shoulder than you would think. I mean, you look at elbows turned in, elbows turned out. If the elbows are turned into the rib cage, toes are out. If they're turned out, toes are turned in. And, you know, my horse is not dead even. Is one side turned in or turned out more than the other? If you look at the shoulder joint itself, has it pitched forward and down, and that radius is flattened out? And that changes the whole dynamics of what's going on, your flexor muscles and the ulna kicking up and all this in the back of the leg and how tight the tension is, your deep flexor, and that makes a difference in your high-low horses. So that has to be, when you're working on a horse, as far as a farrier, you need to take a look at the whys of it and start understanding what's going on the ground, and can we do something with, as Jack Miller used to say, we can provide support, we can reduce leverage. And that's about all a farrier can do. It's the understanding of what the whys and wheres to do it. Too much support can become leverage against the foot itself, and cause too much compression. Relieving too much leverage at a point sometimes can cause a horse some other problems, not too unstable.
Now, what's more likely to be out of alignment, the front end or the back end? Like when you talk about straightness.
Yes.
Both. So they're both, 100 cases this side, 100 cases this side.
Here's the problem you run into. When you go back and you look at the driving horse demo that Laverne Mass did at the summit, and what they were doing as far as getting extension on a horse, they got more extension out of the horse out of what they did prepping the back end of the horse than they did the front. And they were trotting horses out and measuring it. And hopefully we can get them on here at some point. The problem is people can kind of understand how that front leg works because it kind of bends like ours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the hind leg of the horse works like a chicken leg, and people just don't understand how that chicken leg works. And as riders, we're sitting on the front of the horse. We're looking at the front of the horse. The front of the horse is in front of our hands. We tend to focus on the front and not the back so much. In most cases, we need to put front shoes on a horse because. And that's not always the best thing for the situation there.
So what was Dr. Debbie Bennett saying in this article? A little snap piece of what she actually was talking about. What did she find out?
You know, the alignment of the leg is creating problems in the hoof. If we got, you know, toed into foot, they're going to compress on that outside walls. The whole hoof on the end of the leg is going to twist. As a farrier, you're constantly chasing it back. Some people say, you don't want to change it. But if you don't do something with it over time, then those lower joints, you start binding as far as you're trying to flex them to the outside. And they're not meant to do that. And if you keep doing that long enough, you're going to create some compression on the medial side of the joint and vice versa with a horse that's toed out too much. If you keep creating compression on the medial side of the joint, guess what? You get to start seeing Arthur as the horse gets older, right? You know Arthur.
Yeah,
we had a discussion about Arthur.
My dad knows Arthur.
Right. A little too well. And we don't want to get in that situation. And most any competitive horse with an age on it, if you start looking, they have some arthritic changes. It's just as we do. No farriers do, but, you know, right. The rest of the world does.
That's why I was going to bring up that, you know, you take 100 kids. I know I keep using this analogy. You take 100 kids, human kids.
Human kids.
Doesn't matter where they're from, just human kids. At 1 year old, and you take 100 horses. Out of those 100 horses, 38% of them are going to have leg problems. Out of the 100 kids that you have, maybe 0.3% of them will have a leg problem or some kind of, you know, abnormality or something like that, which is weird. I don't know, just, you know, you think of animals that have four legs that are, you know, been around a lot longer than we have, maybe, and you would think that over time they would fix these things, just in the evolution of horses, you know, getting better as to humans.
Right.
You think we would be the ones that would have the bad...
Okay, let me ask you something.
Okay, here we go.
You take those 100 kids.
Got them. Come here, kids.
All of them, line them up.
I don't wanna.
Right.
Stop it.
We're asking a horse to jump, to run, to excel at that. How many of these 100 kids are being pushed to, we need to excel as a sprinter, or we need to excel as a long jumper, or we need to excel as that? And if all kids had to work in that realm, how many would end up having leg problems?
Probably, yeah, I understand exactly now. The ratio would be a little bit higher.
Would be probably a good bit higher.
But technically, you don't have kids. You know, kids don't physically, I mean, they monkey bars, swings, playground, recess, right, all that stuff. But, I mean, they don't start them in any kind of, like, collective sporting events until they're, like, 6, 7, 8 years old.
Right.
When some of those, again, like, those joints have healed up the leg. And, you know, even parents at that time still don't want their kids running around at 6 years old.
And it's the same thing. Now, horses develop at a much different pace than a human child. And you need to wait till the joints are formed well enough to take the stress we're put on them. And some of these deals where we're looking at this, it's got to go in the 2-year-old maturity, and it's got to go out at 2 years old, and it's got to win, and it's got to, which means at what point are you starting the horse to work if it's got to walk out there and win at 2 years old?
Yeah.
Some groups have gone to 3 years old, but still, at what point are we pushing them too hard, too young?
So what else did Dr. Debbie Bennett say about the article in the latest edition of the American Farrier's Journal about how the straightness of the limb affects the hoof?
A lot of it is, and we know as farriers, you take a quick look, why is the foot running in the wrong direction? A lot of that's driven out of what's going on with the leg. What's going on with the leg is driven by so many different things. The rider, the way the rider sits, the way the horse has developed, the way the horse has been trained, and guess what? throw a saddle up there and change it yet again.
Throw a, you know, 150 to 250 pound rider up there too. Me being the 250 pound rider.
You don't ride.
Well, if I was, it's like having a ride. It's like having a front end lineman ride on a horse.
I would have to get one of those A-frames, put a hook in the back like they loaded the arm knights up, right?
Yeah, bring them down.
Call Seacrest Crane Company in.
All right, guys, stick around. When we come back, we're going to talk about a horse named David that Mike had to go out there and recently evaluate, and this horse had DSLD, and we'll dive into what that means too as well. So stick around. You're listening to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. He'll be right back.
Welcome to Color Me Love, where every hue of a child's story matters. Our mission? To heal young hearts through the power of love, art, and nature. Here, in this sanctuary of hope and healing, children who have experienced trauma find a new canvas to express, create, and start anew. Through painting, horseback riding, swimming, and the embrace of the great outdoors, we weave a tapestry of care, building resilience, and trust. Our space is more than a shelter. It's a community where every emotion is respected, every child is cherished, and healing journeys are embraced with empathetic hearts. At Color Me Love, we guide each child to rediscover their strength, to color their dreams with hope, and to feel the love in every brushstroke of life. Join us in this vital mission. Your support can paint a world of difference for these children, offering them a chance to heal, grow, and embrace their vibrant stories. Donate today and be a part of their journey to a brighter tomorrow.
Welcome back to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. If you'd like Mike Stein to perform a clinic out at your location or your event, whatever you got coming up here, the way you do that is go to equinedynamics.com. At the top of the page says clinics. Fill out that little form there. Mike will pencil you in and tell you the latest date he's got open. And if you'd like the Equine Dynamics podcast to perform at your location, your business, your bar mitzvah, your birthday party, just any kind of family gathering, or at your barn, if you've got a training facility or anything like that, we can perform this show just as you hear it right here on the air. We can perform this out at your location as well. Same form, just fill that out and we'll get you on there and we'll bring out all our stuff, our cameras and all the sound equipment and stuff, and Mike and myself will sit down and talk horses with you and your friends and family as well. Over my far right hand side is our very own friend and family.
Far hand right side
is Mike Stein. How are you?
Yes, doing okay.
All right, so now we are going to discuss a horse named David that has DSLD. Now, first of all, before we get started, what does DSLD stand for?
Well, what is happening is the suspensory ligament is breaking down.
Is that the L in the...
Yes.
All right, so DSLD is actually the degenerative suspensory ligament. I knew the L was in there. Disease. Right. And you just call it for short DSLD. So tell
DSLD.
Us... So tell us what David had going on. And we have some pictures here. So if you're not watching this over on YouTube, now's a great chance to go over there and subscribe as well so you can get all the latest updates and stuff from the video portion of the Equine Dynamics podcast show. And we're going to show these pictures as soon as... Do you want me to show the pictures now of David?
That's up to you.
I can do whatever you want.
The suspensory ligament is losing strength dropping. And because of that, if you see these horses in the hind end, and this horse is not collapsed completely, you know, the back of the fetlock is puffed up.
So if you're watching this here on the video here, the horse's hoof is completely flat down.
Right. You've got the coffin bone. You've got the pastern, long pastern, short pastern.
So this is the short pastern, right?
The short pastern is about halfway in the hoof capsule. The long pastern starts just above that.
All right. So this right here, this section right here is almost, and I know this is a picture, it's almost at a, I'm going to say almost a 45 degree angle coming off of that hoof.
Right.
And that's not good.
Well, no, because what's happening is, you know how the alignment goes when you start rotating on a laminitic horse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in this situation, the alignment of the calf bone may actually go a little lower, but then the pastern is dropping back, so you still get that broken back hoof pastern axis, but it's not because of the calf bone rotating, it's because the pastern is falling backwards. At that point, you're affecting the pressure on your flexor tendons. Because of it falling backwards, the hock straightens out, the stifle straightens out, so the horse is uncomfortable and the hocks and stifles.
So here's another angle of that same. Is this the same foot?
Same foot, yeah.
All right, so.
And you see the pastern itself is kind of puffy. You always got to wonder with these horses, and there is some stress up there in the front of the hoof capsule. Some of them will be responsive to pressure there if you palpate it. But you got to wonder with some of these horses, if they're ridden and the back's never lifted. And I'm just going to throw this scenario out there.
Okay.
And you got a saddle that's biting them, and you got a rider that cannot lift them, and we're flopping along. Every time you bounce on it, you're pushing the pastern out the back, right?
Yes.
Excuse me. The pelvis.
No,
the
I meant to say no. That's what I meant to say. No.
As I stumble through stuff, you push the pelvis out the back, and then that straightens out the bone column on the back leg. You know, straightens out your stifle. It straightens out your hock. And then you get more down pressure on your pasterns. If this horse had been rounded up its whole life, which truthfully it probably was not, it was a trail ride horse, would that have made a difference in this horse at an older age? Probably so. At this point, to get the horse under and up is probably not going to happen. And at this point, this is not a ridden horse. But at this point, we're trying to keep this horse as comfortable as we can. So that's what I was asked to take a look. If you raise the hoof angle on a horse like this, you can actually collapse the pastern, because that distance between your extensor process and your sesamoids, you can drop some slack in that. Some of these you can lift up, some of them will fall.
So how old was this horse?
Mid to later 20s.
Okay. So he's done his job.
He has.
Now he's going to just live out the rest of his life being a grass eater, a machine, eating machine.
But we don't want the horse to be uncomfortable, and we don't want this to just fall apart. It's one of those deals where earlier on, could we have done more to help the horse out? And then you've got to look at a situation like this as far as trying to build some appliance and put it on the leg for what you put the horse through. Is it really worth it for what you will actually get, which a lot of times is not much at this point.
Yeah. All right, guys, stick around. When we come back, one more little segment, and we'll wrap up the show. You're listening to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. He'll be right back. Welcome back to Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. Don't forget, if you have a question for Mike Stein, the way you do that is go to equinedynamics.com. At the top of the page says contact us. Fill out that little form there for podcasts. Ask him a question. Make sure you put a return physical address on there, and we'll send you out some stickers from the show. And if you'd like Mike Stein or myself to perform a clinic out at your location, or the podcast to broadcast out at your location, you fill out that little, at the top of the same page says clinics. Fill that out, and we'll pencil you in, and we'll schedule you out there, and we can perform this podcast right at your location. Or Mike can actually bring out Dolly, who is a small...
It's Dolly.
Dolly is your horse there, the big horse with the skeleton of a horse.
Yes, the whole skeleton of the horse, yes.
And show you all the different anatomies of a horse as well, and he brings it out to your location. And if you got a elementary school or daycare or nursery school or something like that, and kids are wanting to touch and feel and learn things about bones and the way joints and stuff work, it's a great idea to have Mike come out there as well. He's real kid-friendly as well, but if you want something interesting, like over summer break or something, you can get a hold of Mike over there as well. And over to my far inside is Mike Stein. How are you?
I'm doing good, Travis. How are you?
Doing well.
You left me speechless.
I do that sometimes. And don't forget, you can also follow him over on Facebook as well. So, Mike, what did we learn this week? Talking terminology, the definition of articulation in the science of the anatomy.
To bend, to flex, the joint's movement is articulating.
Meaning rotating.
Well, sometimes, depending on the type of joint. It's your elbow does not rotate, it flexes.
And also, how the straightness of a limb affects the hoof, an article written in the American Farrier's Journal for this past month by Debbie Bennett. And what did you find out that Debbie Bennett found out?
Yeah, the alignment of the leg affects movement patterns. The impact affects the hoof. How the horse loads because of the alignment of the leg affects the hoof. And as a farrier, we've got to determine how to work around that, the odd pressures in the hoof, to best take care of the horse.
And a horse that Mike had to go evaluate, a horse named David that had DSLD. DSLD, not DSL, which is back in the day as far as dial-up and stuff. So tell us what DSLD is and what are we looking for when it affects a horse?
Well, the DSLD is the degenerative suspensory ligament, and over time it gets weaker and it collapses, and you know, it's part of your stay apparatus, so it's kind of hard for a horse to keep his leg in the alignment that it should be in. And you know, on these hind legs, it really does affect them after a while, when the whole, you lose proper joint alignment because the pastern drops, the hocks straighten out, the stifle straighten out, and there you go. You lose that athleticism of the horse.
All right, guys, on that note, we're going to let you get back to enjoying your ponies. Make sure you follow Mike Stein over at equinedynamics.com. You can follow him on Facebook as well. Make sure you subscribe to YouTube. You can see all the different videos and stuff. And also, we have a brand new section called Private Show. So if you're a subscriber, you'll get those links, and you can see all the cutting room floor stuff. And when I say it's a little bit more information, a little bit more in-depth on the conversation that wouldn't fit in the normal audio portion of the show. So make sure you subscribe over there as well. On behalf of Mike Stein over there,
have a good day having fun with your ponies.
My name is Travis saying see you next week.
All of the doggies are in the corral. All of your work is done. Just close your eyes and dream, little pal. Dream of someone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.